Let's read our scripture again, and let's we'll get into this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and into virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now that's the way we usually read it when we go on. Didn't get a thing, really. That's why we're slowing down here and we're going through these things and helping us to realize that this is a big part of what growing in grace is and maturing in the Lord. When these things are added to your faith, you got faith, you think that's something? It ain't nothing unless it's got some things added to it. Right? Amen, amen. All right, for if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we want, isn't it? Don't we want to be fruitful? Don't we want to abound? Don't we want to prosper and be a good Christian? Don't we want to enjoy our Christian life? Don't we want it to be beneficial to others? Don't we want it to mount to something? Or we just want to live through life as if we never were here, as a person and as a Christian. Just never add a thing, never change a thing. Just kind of like be a parasite. How's that? You know, what's that little bird that rides on the back of the other birds? And instead of flying himself, he just jumps on and rides. A hummingbird, yeah, them little things, I don't really like them things. Everybody thinks they're so pretty, and they're mean as the devil, and they fight with each other, and then they hitch rides. Instead of flying themselves, they make some other bird carry them where they're going. That's pretty lousy. Pretty lousy to live that way as a Christian, too. We ought to be giving something. We ought to be contributing something to the cause of Christ. If we want more people here, how are we going to get them here? We're going to have to bring them here. Somebody's going to have to say, hey, come to church with me. Hey, you ought to come to our church. We have good preaching. If you don't think we have good preaching, then maybe we'll just get a different preacher. If we don't have a good fellowship with one another, if we don't have a good time, good singing, if it's not worth coming, why? And if it's not worth inviting people to, why? Ain't never going to go nowhere. You gotta bring somebody if you want more people to be here. That's one place we're really failing in. All right, let's go on here. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the songs. Thank you for the songs Seth sang there. What a blessing. Thank you for the word of God. And Lord, as we read these verses again, I pray that we'd think on these things, that we would examine ourselves. And Lord, we'd take to heart what the scripture has to say to us this morning. Holy Spirit of God, please have your way with us this morning. I pray you'd have freedom to work in our hearts, and the Word of God would have freedom in our hearts also. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now we talked about temperance, and patience is the next thing. And it's one of the Christian graces that is spoken of most often in the Scripture. I don't know how much you've studied that or thought about it, but if you look in your Bible, just look up patience and patient. Boy, it's in there a lot. You know where it's in, what book it's in the most? Revelation, the end. As you get closer to the end, you're going to need more patience. Where does your patience run out? Oh, close to the end. I read one time where most people give up 30 minutes before the victory. They just went a little farther. They'd have made it. Yeah. Patience. Patience is this. The dictionary says that it is to be patient is having the quality of enduring evils without murmuring or fretfulness. It means sustaining afflictions of the body or mind with fortitude, calmness, or Christian submission to the divine will. Just accepting God's will in your life. Just submitting to what divine wisdom has ordained for you. Now, that's easier said than done, but it should be done. It can be done. It will be done by those who are submitted to God and really believe Him and trust Him. It means not easily provoked. It means calm under the sufferance of injuries or offenses. And it means not revengeful. It's associated with every aspect of the Christian journey. Patience. You just find it through the Bible. I mean, the Bible makes it clear that it's vital to our testimony as a Christian. If we're not patient, it ruins our testimony. It's the thing that's tested when you're first saved by those who are watching. They test your patience to see if you really got anything. And so we ought to have some patience right out of the gate. But as the longer we live, the more patience we should have. Add to your faith patience. It's not a one-size-fits-all, one-time thing. I mean, it's different. It grows. You grow in patience. You mature in it. You learn it through tribulation and experience. All right. Now, Bible makes it clear that it's vital to our testimony and it's necessary to be able to endure the trials of life and the attacks of Satan. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. The servant of the Lord, then, must be patient, right? That's what the Bible says. He must be. If you're going to live for God, if you're going to trust God, if you're going to do this thing, if you're going to be this thing, then you're going to have to be patient. Get that. It ain't a vending machine. God's business ain't. The life in Christ is not that way. Things do not happen fast. They happen slow. We got to wait. We got to wait. And we don't like that. We go to Walmart and we go down through there looking for the shortest line. We don't just get in the first register we find. We see if there's a line shorter. Do you do that? I bet you do. Why? Because you don't want to wait. But you know what I've learned? You might as well just get in the first one you come to because it don't make no difference where you go. You're going to end up the last one out anyway. Maybe that's the Lord trying to teach us patience, you reckon? Teaching us what? To wait. To wait. We got to learn to wait patiently. Without fretfulness and murmuring. Lines. I'd hate standing in line. And this is the slowest checker in the whole place. And we got that one again. Or there's somebody right in front of us that's got a whole bunch of clothes and they got to take them off of every hanger and look them and turn them inside out and look and you know how they do that. It takes forever. I think I'll just sell every shirt for $10 and let it go. Just shirt, $10. Think I need to learn some patience this morning? I'm just saying how it is, ain't it? Ain't that right? We're living in a rush world. And we're in that mode. We're in high gear. And we don't like being slowed down. And we don't like having to wait. We want it now. We want it fast. You go through a drive-thru and you don't want to sit there 15 minutes. This is a drive-thru. It's supposed to be fast food. And there you are waiting. And they say, well, you just pull off out yonder and we'll bring it to you in a minute. Oh, and then we're just like that in our Christian life, too. When things don't happen when we want them to, we just go berserk. We can't stand it. We get all frustrated. We get angry at God, and we give up. A lot of people do. Servant of the Lord must be patient. That 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Now, Paul is talking to the church of Thessalonica. And this is what he says about them. Pay attention. What he's impressed with them about. As it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience. and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You see what their testimony was? Their patience. They was having to put up with unbelievable tribulations and persecutions and afflictions, and they were patiently enduring them. And Paul said, I'm telling all the other churches about you. You're glorifying God in all of the other churches because they know about you and what you're doing and how patient you are. Don't you appreciate it when somebody's patient with you? You fumble around and mess up and you feel bad because you've caused some other people trouble. Ain't you glad when they say, it's all right, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. And they really mean it. You appreciate somebody that's patient. What if they're just like, you idiot, can't you do nothing right? Move out of the way. How's that make you feel about it? Patience. Trying to get you to understand what it is, how it works, how that it is the fact we're supposed to have. That's why the Bible said, add to your faith patience. We're told here in these verses that we got to add it to our faith. Therefore, it's something we need to think about. Don't you think? We need to think about it. And we need to examine ourselves about it. And we need to do what we can to make sure it's a part of who we are. We don't just sit around and expect God to just put it in us. You pray for patience and you won't add it to yourself. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to get taught patience, but you ain't going to like the way that it's taught to you. It's easier to learn if you listen and obey than it is to have it worked into you. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about there. It's something that develops in us as we grow in virtue and knowledge and temperance. Add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith knowledge. Add to your knowledge temperance. And to your temperance, patience. Patience begins her perfect work in us from the day we're saved. Now listen to me. I got some things to say here, and this is very, real important. Temperance and patience are very close kin. Temperance is short term. Patience is long term. Patience is long term temperance. If you ain't got temperance, you ain't got patience. Are you getting this? Important. You got to have temperance. Temperance is for the immediate. Patience is for the future. Temperance is what's happening right now and saying, whoa, stop, stop, stop. No. Hold it. Patience is for the long term. Looking to the future, way out yonder. Can't even see the end of it. Temperance is mostly about turning from evil. Patience is mostly about waiting for good. Temperance is required when we're offered something. When it's put in front of us and say, here you go. Patience is when we're something that we're hoping for. Something that we're desiring is held from us. Temperance is the halting. Patience is the waiting. We got to walk our walk of faith with patience. Now, if we're going to walk by faith, we're going to have patience. Because it's just not going to happen the way we want it to so quickly. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Jesus said this, he said, but that on the good ground are they. This is the parable of the sower. The others didn't make it. They didn't last. They flew the coop, didn't produce fruit, withered away. It's as if they never existed. But the last one, the seed that fell on the good ground, are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit. we kind of tend to leave these last two words off, though. With patience. That's how it happens. It don't just happen without that. It doesn't happen without patience. It's good ground, honest heart. And they bring forth fruit with patience. Takes a while. Takes a while. We need to get that. Takes a while in you. Takes a while in your brother. Takes a while in these children. Takes a while in everybody. Takes a while. You ain't going to see fruit immediately. We can understand that when we plant a garden. We can understand that when we plant a tree. We can understand it when we plant a crop. We can understand that when a woman gets expecting. We can understand it. It ain't going to happen tomorrow. Takes patience. Patience, patience. And I told Lori the other night, I think it was, I said, I never seen it. She said, it'd be fine with me if it was a little sooner. I said, how long you got? She said, 6 weeks. And I said, well, she said, it might be sooner if it was okay with me. And I said, I never heard anybody say, I'm 38 weeks pregnant and I hope it lasts another 6 weeks because I don't want this to come to an end. Did you ever hear anybody say that? No, 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 no. They're having to practice patience. Oh, I wish this baby would come. We want this baby to come. It's time. It'd be all right if it'd come right now. As soon as they think it could survive, they're ready to, come on, let's go. Takes patience. That baby ain't coming until it's time for it to come. And that's the way everything in life is. That's the way it is with God's blessings. That's the way it is with your understanding. A lot of people say, I just don't understand, don't understand. Well, be patient. Keep it going. Hang in there. Trust God. And keep practicing temperance and add some knowledge and add some virtue. And guess what? You'll understand someday. Well, the natural, normal growth of any living thing seems to be very slow to us who are living in this fast-paced life that we're living. The development of a child of God after he's saved is a slow process, but it should be something that we can see by checking from time to time, just like our plants and everything else we have anything to do with that's alive, our pets, anything. If you go back and look at them every little bit, you can see they're growing. We just don't notice it, but once in a while we do take notice and say, wow, he's really growing. We ought to be able to do that with one another. We ought to be able to do that with ourselves. And that's why I encourage you, keeping a journal and writing things down and doing things like that. Check yourself. Go back and write some things down. You know, this time coming up, Thanksgiving, New Year's. I mean, if you can't do it any other time, do it there. Just write down where you're at with God. What you've learned this year. Have you made any progress? Next year, check it and see where you're at. Write down how you feel, what your thoughts are. Measure yourself. Check yourself. I mean, set up stakes along the way so you ain't just meandering around all over. I mean, figure this thing out. Keep track of things and see if you're making any progress or not. We ought to be able to do that. There's things that we can accept at the point of salvation that we don't understand. I wish you'd listen to me here, too. This is really important. I was just talking to somebody the other night about this. There's things that we accept at the point of salvation that we don't understand. Now, that's the way it is. You accept a lot just on God's word. And you believe it and you trust it. One of them is forgiveness. You believe that God's forgiven you, but it ain't real to you. Because I've heard lots of people say, I don't deserve it. I've heard lots of people after they're saved say, well, I just don't think I'm worthy to be forgiven of that. You believe God, but you don't really believe in forgiveness because it's impossible. Who forgives anyway? Who can forgive sin? That's what the Pharisees said, and that's what everybody feels like. You've sinned. You've done something awful. You've done a lot of awful things, and you're guilty in your own soul, and you're condemned of yourself, and you can't imagine how anybody could put it aside and go on, especially the ones you've hurt. Well, it takes time, see, for you to really come to believe in forgiveness. Now, I don't care if you agree with me or not. If you don't, you just don't understand what I'm talking about. It's the truth. I watch people all through the years and growing in grace, they begin to understand. Now, they made their decision and they trusted Christ and they got in, but there's still a lot of shaky things that they're just not sure because it's not been their experience yet. You got to experience forgiveness before it's really real to you. You take it on faith. God said he would, and he does. But the problem's here. You know what it takes to ever get to the point where you understand that? And patience. It's something you got to wait for. Oh, I wish people would listen to me. It's something you got to wait for. And there's other things like that. Acceptance in the beloved, in the church, and as one of God's people, being accepted by them. Paul wasn't accepted for 3 years, and it wasn't a figment of his imagination, and it wasn't his own guilt. I mean, they did not accept him. The apostles said, no way. And even 3 years later, when he came, they said, no, And Barnabas persuaded them, said, you guys are wrong. This man loves God and he's changed and he's saved and God's forgiven him and you need to forgive him. And they finally took him in. But see, in our minds, we're the same way. We come to church. That's what the problem with the sinner is, see. They say they believe God and everything. A lot of them do. But it's God's people that's the problem. They can't imagine being accepted in the beloved. But you are. If you really give your heart to God and trust him and you get saved, you are. Now, you got to understand their point of view. These guys, I mean, Paul had been persecuting the church, killing people, ransacking houses and looking for them, like, hunting them down like animals. And now all of a sudden, he's a Christian. Well, you can't blame him for saying, no, we'll believe it when we see it. I mean, would you want somebody that was out here doing that yesterday? Would you want them sitting here by your kids today in church saying, well, I got saved last night? No, you'd say, hey, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. That's right. So everybody's got to wait, don't they? You ought to just swallow your pride, swallow your self-condemnation and come and sit in a pew and act like a Christian for a while. And people will start believing it.
That's right. It's true.
And you will too. Then you'll understand. Then you'll be accepted and you'll believe it too. A truly new start in life. People can't believe that can really happen. But it does. And I'm saying these things because these things require patience. They're things you have to wait for. People get saved and the next Sunday, while they're not treated like they're, everybody's not so happy the next Sunday as they were the first Sunday. And so they think everything changes instantly. Everything don't change instantly. No, it don't. We accept these things are true, but they don't become real to us and really true in our heart without some experience in the kingdom of God first. So we got to wait for them to become real to us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 says just what I'm saying to you. He said, for ye have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. How about that? Did you hear that? For ye have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's the way it works. Brother Parker always used to say, you don't get your blessings on credit. And that's right. You got to wait for them. You pay, and then you wait. And God delivers when it's time. We got to be patient toward all men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak and be patient toward all men. That's a little phrase that you ought to ingrain in your mind and heart. All of us should. It's one of them things that ought to be on the wall of our house. Be patient toward all men. Wait on them. Wait on them. Wait on people. They wait on you. God waited on you. Everybody's waiting on you. There's other people waiting on you. Parents wait on you. Waited on you. You can wait on somebody too. It's part of life. It's part of being alive. It's part of being a Christian for sure. Is patience and waiting. It works the same with all people. It takes time to learn and time to grow. And it takes time to mature in everything. But in the grace and knowledge of the Lord also. We need to apply everything we know about life. We need to apply it into this deal too. Because it works the same way. It's a living thing. You're a new creation. Being born again, you're a new creation. You're a new life. You start out as a babe in Christ. You're birthed into the kingdom. And you're a babe. And you start growing. You need milk for a while. And then after a while, you can have some strong meat. But that's for those that are fully grown, who have their senses exercised by reason of use to discern good and evil. Yeah. It takes a while, even with unsaved people, and we ought to be patient with all men. But even more so, we ought to practice patience with them. Who knows who you're looking at? An unsaved person, you don't know what the future holds for them. You don't know what God may do in their life. You don't know what may come down the pipe. Boy, I've seen it turn around so many times in my life. I've seen the wheel turn. And people who were lightly esteemed, suddenly they're not that way anymore. People that nobody thought would ever be anything but a reprobate, they turned out to be somebody that honored and served God. Somebody that they thought was going to do great works for God turned out to be a reprobate. Seen it happen a lot of times. Wait on people. This judging thing, we can tell what's right and what's wrong, but we can't tell what's going to happen in somebody's life. Yeah. There's a God in heaven. He does miracles. He intervenes. I mean, He's got, His providence works in ways that we do not understand or foresee coming down the pike. And so we need to wait on Him. Wait on Him. Don't give up. If you're waiting, that means you don't give up. You know, if you're waiting on somebody to come, and you're waiting at the bus station or the airport or somewhere, and then they just don't show up, and you say, well, they must not be coming, I'm leaving, and you leave. You gave up. And if they show up, you're not going to be there. Don't give up on people. The lost, don't give up on them. Wait. Practice some patience with them. And with their nonsense and their foolishness, that's what sinners do. You know, it's offensive to us, but that's what they do. That's it. I mean, that's the world, and that's their life, and that's what they do. We got to wait for people to come along, even when it seems like it's never going to happen. And then generally, in life, when we are forced to learn patience to some degree. Lost, saved, don't matter. In life, we're forced to learn patience. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Bible says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And then Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But now Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation in this world. And then the Bible tells us there in Romans that tribulation, knowing this, that tribulation worketh patience. So we just glory in tribulations also, because they're teaching us patience. So, whether you're lost, whether you're saved, you're going to learn some patience, because you're going to have tribulation in this world. And as a Christian, you certainly are. So, you're going to learn it. Like it or not, resist it or not, I have learned some, and I've watched other people learn it. Oh, this way. You will, I don't care how high-spirited you are, I don't care how high-stepping you are, you will learn to just hunker down and wait. You ain't got no choice. There is such a thing in this life as having no choice. This is the self-indulgent generation, but I'm telling you, it can be that way. And it will be that way in your life. Whether we want to wait or not, we're going to wait. We may fret and fuss and be angry and frustrated, but it'll avail us nothing but bring more tribulation. You know, if I'm working on something and I'm having trouble, I've found that the best thing to do is just get up and walk away from it. Wait until another time. Wait a little while. Go home and do something else. You get frustrated. And when you get frustrated, you start messing up more. You start dropping stuff and losing stuff, and then you break stuff, and don't you? Well, it works that way in other things too. When you get frustrated because things are not going right in your home or at church or at work, biggie, it just causes you more frustration, which causes you to be more short with others, less patient with others, which brings more tribulation your way. You got to break it somewhere. Break that cycle. Tribulation teaches us to wait. And then patience is when we learn to apply the lesson learned to our life. Looking forward. Oh, I wish you'd listen to this stuff. Tribulation teaches us to wait. That's patience, isn't it? And then patience is when we learn to apply that lesson we've learned to our life looking forward. Remember, temperance is right now. Patience is for the future. It's something that we learn and then we put it in, we plug it in. It's what we're looking through to the future. It's in there. It's an ingredient that's part of the way we look at things in the future. We can't have everything we want right now. We got to wait for things. I hear a lot of people talking to older folks. I do too sometimes, but about young people and how they start out in life and they got to have everything. Got to have everything right out of the gate. So most people get married and they go way in debt to have everything right now. And then they live their life in frustration and under bondage. I've known so many, they build a brand new house just as soon as they get married. And, you know, they've got to have new cars and new furniture and everything that mom and dad had, or maybe, after 40 years or 50 years. That's not patience, is it? I'm sure we sit around here and let people tell stories and let dad tell you about what he lived in when they first got married and Brother Jim back there. And I just remember things used to be so different. People lived in little bitty houses. And people, if they had one car, that was a big, you know, that was pretty good. And if they had one car and it didn't have flat tires on it, that was even better. Yeah. But now, you know, you can't survive. I mean, it's all necessary and you got to have it. You got to have it right now. And so we're going to get it. So I don't care what we got to do. We're going to get it. What does it bring to your life? Tribulation. Tribulation. And then you learn patience backwards. See? Tribulation teaches us to wait, and then we apply that to our life going forward, and not only concerning our own matters, but those of others as well. We learn to look at other people and look into their future with patience. I hope you can understand what I'm saying there. That's not as clear as I want it to be. But anyway, James said in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he said this, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then the next verse says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So patience brings us to a maturity and a completeness in our Christian life. Now, do you have any desire at all to get there? Do you have any desire to grow and to have more than what you have now of the knowledge of God? I mean, the view of God and His creation. Or do you want to live in the shallows all your life if you're even in the shallows? Do you want to live in darkness? You know, or so dim light that you don't hardly see what's going on at all? No, man. Grow up. Get in the light. Get your head out of the water. Get up above the water where you can see. Yes. Well, patience is a big thing. It does its perfect work and it makes us complete. It brings us to that point that he said there, that you may be perfect and entire. Perfect? That you may be perfect. I thought nobody's perfect. I don't know nobody's perfect. We like saying that, don't we? Did you know the Bible don't say that? Bible don't say that at all. In fact, it says just the opposite. That's just one place. Bible says, be ye perfect. Complete. Grow up. Quit being a baby. Quit being ignorant. Quit being dumb about everything and blind. Grow up. Start acting like somebody. Be perfect, that patience may have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing, fully equipped, grown up in the Lord, able to give an answer, able to stand, able to endure. Patience, that's how you get there. It's a big part of it. Patience is rewarded, and patience does have a payday. That's the good thing about patience. Says sung that song about Noah. Said Noah preached 120 years. That's what we all said, but I was thinking about that. You know, Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. Noah had been preaching a lot longer than 120 years. He's preaching before God ever came along and said, hey, need to build an ark. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God came to Noah and said, build an ark. I'm fixing to just wipe this place out. How'd you like to preach for 500 years or more and nobody listen? That's patience, buddy. But when the door slammed on that ark, patience paid off. When they were sitting in that ark and the Lord shut the door. Bam! And patience has a lot, it's a good thing. Noah had all those years to build that ark and to build it right. When that door slammed and the rain started falling and the ark started floating, you reckon Noah was worried to death and thinking about every little crack and you know, did you do this? Did we do that? No, I don't think so. There's too much more to think about in those hours. Besides that, that was prepared. He was sure of the ark. It'd float. He built it like God said to build it. That's how come he knew it would float. And so it took patience. Take, my brethren, the prophets, which have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. James chapter 5, verse 10. Did you hear that? Hey, my brethren, take the prophets for an example who have spoken in the name of the Lord. Take them for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. And patience. Take them in an example for patience. Think of them. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job's patience saw him through the darkness and back into the light. But it took a while. 40-some chapters. Now, we don't know how much time passed and all of that, but there was time that Job had to endure. And even the Bible testifies here in the book of James, you've heard of the patience of Job. Patience. All of them were patient. Moses waited for 40 years on the backside of the desert before the burning bush that day. He waited another 40 years in the wilderness and then didn't even get to go in. He got to see it. The Lord, ain't that something? That God did that. Moses, you've been faithful. You put too much into this. I'm going to let you look. So he took him up on a mountain and let him look. That's pretty good of God. He got to look. Everybody had to wait. How long did Joseph have to wait? Patience, patience. You see? Oh my. Long time. Joseph's trial was a long one. Joseph, without a doubt, then, was a patient man, wasn't he? If patience makes you perfect and complete and wanting nothing, you see what it does. It makes people like Joseph who they were. It makes Moses. It makes Noah. It makes David. It makes all of them. All of them. You can go to all of them. Take the prophets, my brethren, for an example. Look at them and read about them and see. If they didn't have to wait, it'd help you in your waiting. When you think this ain't never going to work, and it ain't never going to happen, and I don't see how anything could ever bring to pass what I'm hoping for, or what I always believed, and what I always dreamed about, and what God told me, look at them. We could mention all the saints from the record in the Bible and say, and we could say they all had to have patience and a whole lot more of it than we seem to have to endure what they did. But they all saw the victory before it was over. Read chapter 11 of Hebrews and you'll see how their patience paid off. Abraham waited a long time to hold Isaac in his arms. But the reward was there, wasn't it? Yes, it was. That's the way it is for everything. The people of God who learn patience and who wait. Read in Revelation. That's why the word patience is mentioned more there than in any other book. Because they waited. This is the patience of the saints. Wait for it. You got to wait. You got to wait in hope. The Bible talks about in Romans about hoping and waiting. I know that in Spanish, the word for hope and wait is the same word. What you really hope for, you wait for. But you can't see it. Patience is for the future. Patience is so interwoven with faith that you can't separate it from it. Add to your faith patience. Yes. Understand that if you're going to believe God and if you're going to live by faith, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait for things. If you young people over here would understand that you're going to have to wait about a spouse. You're going to have to wait to grow up. Wait to do the things that you think you can do now, but you're not ready for. You need to learn to wait, patiently wait. We all have things and dreams and desires and hopes and we'd like to see and it would be right and it's a good thing and we're not desiring a bad thing. Remember, patience is waiting for good things. Temperance is turning away from bad things mostly. Wait on them. Learn to wait. God's faithful. God rewards those who are patient. It's like a qualification, if you want to think of it that way. You're grounded as a Christian. You're grounded. You're spinning your wheels as a Christian if you do not have patience. We can all lose our patience, I guess, once in a while with some certain little situation, but patience is to do with the long look. Temperance is with the short look. Remember that. Yeah, it's important. All right, let's stand. I got one more verse I want to read to you, and then we'll pray. The Bible said in James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," that's a farmer, "waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, then." I mean, the farmer can wait. You ought to wait. He plants his crops, and he waits. And he waits for the rain. He gives time for the rain to fall. The early rain and the latter rain. I mean, it takes more than one rain to make a crop. Time's got to pass. Everything's got to be working in that. Patience. That's patience. He had long patience for it. Until he received the early and latter rain, "Be ye also patient then. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." It takes patience to wait on the Lord to come from heaven. See, a lot of people are giving up. A lot of people are embracing false doctrines and believing, well, he ain't coming. You going to give up? Be patient, therefore, my brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Wait for it. Oh, yeah. "Unto them that look for him." That's who he's coming for. Those who are patient, but they're looking and waiting. It's their blessed hope. It's what they're waiting for. And it takes patience. Everything's going to try your patience. Everything's going to say you're stupid for believing that. Everything is going to say it's not going to happen. I mean, times you think the devil came to Joseph in the prison and said, "You're here for life, buddy. There ain't nobody on this earth even knows where you're at. I got you and your dreams." How many times do you think that happened? Oh, but there was a day when the prison door swung open. He got up that morning ragged and dirty and with a prison clothes on, and he went to bed that night in the palace with a robe and gold hanging on him. When it happens fast. At the end of patience, things turn around just like that. That's how it happens. It don't gradually happen. When it finally comes to its fruition, the fruit is there. I mean, it happens. Suddenly. And we need to encourage one another to wait. Angel came to Abraham and said, "According to the time of life, by this time, Sarah's going to bear you a son. You're going to call him Isaac." Sarah laughed. The Lord said, she laughed. She said, "No, I didn't. No, I didn't." "Yes, you did. You laughed. Because it was funny. 90 years old, going to have a baby. I mean, that's ridiculous. She's like these old people now, you know, laugh about that matter." He said, "It's going to happen like I told you." Well, less than a year later, they were holding a baby. I wonder what they thought whenever she started having all the symptoms and everything. And she did one of them tests and it come back positive. Patience has its reward. I think I'll invest in it a little bit, a lot, as a matter of fact. Learn to be patient with yourself, with God, and with others. Be patient. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please bless it now to our minds and hearts. Lord, some real important things here for us to get our minds around and to keep. Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, help us to keep them and to apply them in our life, that they become a part of our thinking and the way we live and look at everything. Lord, help us so much. It's our testimony. It's so important. Without this, we really don't have a testimony that amounts to anything or that has any effect. Help us, Lord, to be patient with one another, and help us to patiently wait for you as you accomplish your will in our lives, as you ready us for heaven, and as you prepare to come back for us. Help us, Lord, to wait patiently for you. Go with us now and bless the day in Jesus' name. Amen.